Elevate. Smith and Seamus Fox.
Welcome to the Elevate Podcast, episode 6. This week we have a guest on, Andy Chapman from CrossFit Limavady. Andy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, guys.
For anybody that doesn't know you, Andy, tell us a wee bit about yourself and your background.
Personal trainer full-time for the last 3 years, but I've been working in the business now for 12 or 13 years, and I'm based in Limavady.
Yeah, and how did you get into the whole health and fitness game?
Always been interested in health and fitness. Did a lot of classes and stuff when I was younger, 15 years ago or so. I was actually at your classes when you used to take classes at Evolve, and I thought, goodness, I think I can do this better than Foxy.
You've realised now you can't.
I'm only joking. And I started taking spin classes at that stage for Tan Young. I think it was like maybe 10, 12 years ago, started taking spin classes for Tanya. She was doing really well in Limavady at the time. A girl, Crummy, and I ran a studio for her in Maherfelt. And then a couple of years after I'd started that, moved to New Zealand for 3 years. I was working at a gym called Temple Fitness in New Zealand. They took on a CrossFit affiliate during the time that I was out there. So they were a normal gym, took out a CrossFit affiliate. I started training in CrossFit and came home in 2011. Started looking for a CrossFit gym back in Northern Ireland. There was only three here at the time. There's one every town now.
Yeah. There was none in Derry at that time.
No, there wasn't. It was even before Graham McFadden had opened his Derry gym. I think it was the two that I think I remember was Reebok CrossFit NA in Belfast and possibly Causeway.
Right. Yeah, because that's actually where I went and did my course.
Is that right?
Yeah, the first introduction to CrossFit I had was through John.
John Rosborough at Evolve. Done this as well, that's right.
Yeah, and he put me to go on and do the CrossFit course because he wanted to open that up within Evolve.
Yeah.
And we were running classes and stuff there in Evolve and kind of taking bits and pieces from CrossFit and adding them into classes.
Yeah.
And then Graham came back and I actually met Graham and he came home from Australia. He was working in Australia, loved CrossFit. And then he went on to open up his own CrossFit.
Yeah, so he opened his place. I'm not sure what year, it was a few years ago now.
2013, I went to Australia and he opened up CrossFit.
Yeah. So my business partner now, Michael Walsh, and I joined his gym, CrossFit Derry. Spent a couple of years there and we just thought, well, let's do this ourselves. So we 3 years ago now, we opened CrossFit Limavady, and that's what I've been doing since.
Yeah. So how did you, like, even right back to childhood, what was your initial interest in health and fitness? What was your background in terms of sport? Or did you always think, right, I want to be a personal trainer?
No, definitely.
Obviously,
not.
you worked in the council for a while as well too,
I studied at university. I did politics because it was the easiest to get into. My results at A level were brutal, but I was able to sneak into politics.
I think most of the politicians in Ireland's kind of the same position. And you kind of fucking sneaked in. They couldn't get into anything else, clearly.
Well, do you know, it's mad too, because I've never voted once in my life. I've never voted, but I did politics at university. Get out of university in 2005 and winged my way into a job with a newspaper in Korean. Had no qualifications of anywhere near what you would need to become a reporter, but they must have been getting it tight at the time and I got a job. So I was working in a newspaper until I went to New Zealand. I got a job out by the New Zealand Herald out there as a sports reporter. And it's some great memory. Like, covered the Rugby World Cup, got to travel over New Zealand. Really surreal times when I look back on it now. And I got to spend a week with the All Blacks team when they were training in Gisborne during the World Cup. And like, got to actually train with a few of the guys. Yeah. And I'm looking back on it now thinking,
wow,
that's crazy that happened. I played rugby as well. I played rugby when I was out in New Zealand. But I tore my cruciate in 2009. So I needed something else. Got into a bit of powerlifting, and then powerlifting led me to CrossFit. And that's sort of that's how it evolved, I guess.
Yeah, so like,
you're lazy. You're kind of lazy.
But as a kid, was it football? Was it rugby?
It was rugby. Yeah. Because of rugby. The school I went to, Limavady Grammar School, was a rugby school. You weren't allowed to play football.
Right, okay.
I think it was like third or fourth year before you could play football. So you were sort of, you were told you're playing rugby. You're big and fat, so you're a prop.
Yeah,
I was tiny, so I was put on the wing.
Yeah.
I hated tackling, hated contact, hated all that stuff. But then I guess just through time, I got into it a wee bit more and started enjoying it.
Brilliant.
So basically, you don't run or you don't you didn't do any other sports. So you rugby, powerlifting, and then CrossFit?
Yeah.
And you're not quite good. You're a good powerlifter and good CrossFitter. And do we not do BJJ as well? Did you forget about that?
BJJ now.
Holy fuck. You're kind of a lot of shit going on. That's why I'm being sarcastic saying he's lazy.
What I notice about Andy is...
He makes me feel bad.
Yeah, but what I notice about Andy is kind of all or nothing. Mm-hmm. If you go on the... Like, when it's powerlifting, it's powerlifting. Yeah. When it's CrossFit, it's CrossFit, CrossFit, 100%. CrossFit.
And you're right.
And now it's BJJ. Aye. It's like fucking...
And I'm sure people are saying, that wee tit's going to find something else next year. It's going to start playing chess.
To be good at... Stop being good at stuff, man.
I can't see chess being the thing. Definitely not.
To be honest, CrossFit, I love CrossFit, but naturally I was never going to be that. I was never a good CrossFitter. Like the guy that runs the gym with me, Mickey Walsh, is a fantastic CrossFitter. Trains 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. He is a CrossFitter. I was never a good competitive CrossFitter. Yeah. All the things going against me to be a good CrossFitter. I was small. I'm sitting at 64 kgs body weight now, which is fine for a sport like powerlifting or BJJ because you're weight classed.
Yeah.
So I'm in with all the other wee ferrets my size, and it's okay. It's a level playing field. And CrossFit, you're going to be taking on 90 to 100 kg weightlifters. Yeah.
So speaking about a level playing field and the whole CrossFit thing, and maybe the transgender thing, what's your thoughts on that?
That seems to sort of hit the news this week.
Do you just want to give us a background on it?
I think the guy that runs CrossFit Glassman said that for the first time now in the CrossFit Open this year that transgender athletes will be allowed to enter the CrossFit Open in the section that they see themselves. So, someone who would now...
who grew up a male can now compete as a female?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this stems from a court order, doesn't it?
Possibly, I think
what happened was... There was a male in the States that basically wanted to apply to do the CrossFit Games. Mm. And they just let CrossFit know, listen, I was born a male, but I now see myself as a female. 10 years ago, I decided to become a female. And now I want to compete as a female. Yeah. And CrossFit said, no, that's not happening because biologically you're a male.
Yeah,
so you can't do that. And he said, she said. she said, or whatever they want to be identified as, said... listen, I'm taking you to court. And they did. They took him to court and they won the case. And now CrossFit has to see.
So they're getting... It's a decision they want to make then, that they're forced into doing that legally. Is that right? Okay.
Which makes... Well, listen, we fucking chatted about it. And like, this is our views and we're not saying that it's the views of everyone else or whatever. So this is our fucking disclaimer. Mm-hmm. We just spoke about putting Brock Lesnar in a miniskirt.
Yeah.
And basically... Yeah. Brock Lesnar identifying himself as a female and going in and smashing fuck out of everyone.
I think I heard
athletes.
That example used on a Joe Rogan.
That's what.
So it's like fucking Ronnie Coleman saying, "No, I'm a female and competing as a female bodybuilder."
Well, I can see both sides.
Do you see is there an unfair advantage and who does it go towards? Of course, it's obviously going to be an unfair advantage towards whoever grew up as a male because they've grew up with a lot of testosterone. They're a lot stronger, a lot more powerful and they have those they have that advantage no matter what. And if they're transferring them as a female, then that's obviously going to give them an unfair advantage against whoever grew up as a female.
People are talking about the hormonal balance that's addressed whenever you're changing and that's maybe a good reason that you would allow someone who now see themselves as a male or female to go in the section they want to. But There's things that you can't change. The podcast that you're talking about, the Joe Rogan podcast with Jordan Peterson, Jordan Peterson talked about the mindset, generic mindset that a man has.
Yeah.
And he used the example of taxi drivers. Male taxi drivers earn more money than female taxi drivers. But the reason that happens is because they drive faster.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're risk takers. So that's one thing. And that's a very general thing. Of course, there's probably... female risk takers, but as a general thing, and I was chatting a guy actually at work last week. He was training to be a doctor, and he was talking about the skeletal system of a man that a man's born with, and you know yourself and certain movements. So if you're holding an overhead squat, for example, if you're doing it properly, it's your skeletal system locked out that's holding onto the barbell. There's things that a birth male
will have
forever.
Yeah.
And if that man decides that that he's a woman and goes through the process, then he's still got all those things.
Yeah.
And like, I think
there might be a difference in hormones. But in terms of makeup,
you don't have to. I could say that I want to identify as a female tomorrow and do nothing with
about
hormone.
It. Yeah, no, but a lot of people will do the hormone replacement and do the whole changes.
They might do, but what I'm saying is, Rich Froning could come back and fucking say he wants to compete in the female section.
Well, there must be a baseline. There has to be so many boxes you can tick, I would imagine, before you can go on.
So what is it?
I looked up in the UK, and it is a very simple process, man. Right. Now, and they have to make it simple because you don't. The government said you don't have to tick any boxes to say that you're a female.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
male.
That's maybe general pop who want to identify as a male or female. But what about in terms of competing?
No, because that's what it comes down to. It comes down to, well, you see yourself as a male or female. They didn't. That man that changed gender, the transgender that now identifies as a female, said basically, I now identify as a female. I was biologically born as a man, but now I identify as a female and I want to compete as a female.
Did he go through the...
No, there was no...
Still
I don't
had
know.
All
I don't
his
know.
Male sexual organs? And
I don't know. I never asked. Pull your pants down.
I don't know. I can see both sides. I can understand the other side of the argument. Of course, I can. And I actually posted about this on Facebook this week, and just to get an opinion because I don't know exactly where I stand. But there's people that were talking about a third section, so a male, female, and then
having a transgender section.
A transgender section, and then there was arguments for.
But then they're going to be like.
Here's where it stands.
Males
just one transgender. So, right.
so see, when it comes down to it, it's the government's decision they make, and a human rights organization comes in and says, right, here's the way we're going to have it now. And everything has to align with it. And if there's a problem, it stems from what the government's recommendations are in terms of gender equality, gender equality, but where the kind of where you lie in the spectrum. Like, so if it's male or female, then the sport is male or female. If the government has turned around and said it needs to be boom, but all these different subcategories, or not subcategories, but different categories, and not just male or female, then everything has to align with that. So if there's a problem, everyone goes, here, hold on a minute, government, stop fucking doing stupid stuff like that, and stand up and say that this is a problem. If you want to identify yourself as a flower or a fucking plant or a guitar, do you know what I mean? Is there going to be another section in sport now for guitars?
Well, the other thing as well is that you have to look at the sport. So sports that wouldn't matter.
No.
But if it's a sport that involves athleticism, then you might have to look at it. So like
darts, you're going to get away with darts.
You might get away with it in darts, but there's sports where you can clearly see differences. Like everything's recorded, world records in different sports. And a 65 kg man will have the world record snatch and clean and jerk will be a lot heavier than it is for a woman. So there's certain sports, and the other one's combat sport.
Of course, but at the end of the day, CrossFit are just openly saying, look, this is allowed to happen. So how do you actually split it up? How do you make it even? How do you make it like a balance between, as you say, males are going to be able to snatch and clean and jerk a lot heavier. And if they've transferred over now and they being a female, then they've got that unfair advantage.
Well, there's already, in CrossFit, there's already differentials between like RX weights for men and women. Mm-hmm. So like in most workouts where a wall ball would be involved, the wall ball would be 9 kgs for men. They're thrown at a higher target than a 6 kg wall ball to a lower target for women.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that the boxes you need to tick are minimal, there could be a guy throwing a 9 kg wall ball to a higher target one week, and then the next week, because he's the gender has changed, that person will be throwing a 6 kg wall ball to a lower target. So I don't understand how that would be okay. I don't know.
No, you're right. Like,
and that's just one small component.
Yeah.
Well, like, are you thinking them games?
Yeah.
Jesus. I don't know. I just don't see. I know it has to be even in terms of what that person identifies as, but I mean, as a competitive athlete, and advantages between both. No, yeah. Where does a line be drawn?
Everyone needs to, you know, everyone has the right to compete at whatever sport they want to compete at. As simple as that. Like, and I don't really give a fuck what somebody identifies as because it doesn't really bother me. It doesn't change my opinion on anyone. I still think everyone's fuckers. So the problem is it's down to grassroots. If you can do this, and it can be done in terms of the law and changing your fucking gender and everything else, then it is going to impact sports.
UFC too, isn't it? Happens,
well,
isn't it?
There's some girl, some lady, Fallon Fox is now MMA fighter. He actually has it up there on the screen.
Yeah.
And she's doing pretty well in terms of MMA.
There was a thing on, like, it was doing the rounds on Facebook a few months ago, and there was a transgender now a female who battered a woman.
Aye, well, I think that possibly is it there, Fallon Fox.
I think that's it. Then.
And that's what's going to happen. And I suppose sport in itself and all the sports, and you just mentioned it, like there's like some NASCAR and things. Things will probably won't matter that much when it comes down to gender. They're trying to be fair. Every sport's trying to be fair and trying. And you're talking like 2-1% difference in the top athletes, the elite athletes. And I think between genders, they reckon there's about 10% difference between male and female of the elite athletes. But when you're coming down to elite, like it really is a 0.5% difference or a percent difference in the top three or four people. Do you know what I mean? So when you're down to that kind of level, there is going to be an advantage taken.
But do you ever feel that sometimes when you talk about something like this, you feel that you might be being labelled as being sexist or something?
Of course. We actually talked about it before and we're going, hold on a minute, it's not being sexist. You're just having an opinion.
I don't actually care. Like, I don't, at the end of the day, if someone doesn't like it, I have nothing against anyone.
At the end of the day, it's openly public. Everybody's talking about it anyway. It's not as if we're on here slagging anyone. Exactly.
Yeah, the other thing you have to say is, maybe, do you ever watch the games? And do you ever watch the female athletes in the games? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, they're unreal.
There's not much difference.
Yeah. There's sports out there, like fucking even tennis. Tennis is more popular females, and it's better to watch.
Oh, 100%. Serena Williams. Aye, she'd probably beat most men anyway, but the point is she shouldn't have to.
No, because it's a level playing field in terms of that. She'd fucking smash me, and their MMA fighters would smash me as well. Hold them. You know what I mean? That's not under
debate. Did you see the one on Facebook with the girl, the MMA fighter, a boy tried to rob her? Oh, did you see that?
Aye, well, he got what he deserved. And I saw like people trying to stick up for him a wee bit, saying that she went too far. It was on his terms. He was the one trying to rob her.
He went too far. He didn't mean to rob her that much. He didn't deserve that kind of bitten. How do you go too far by trying to rob somebody?
Like, that's the beauty about self-defense, man.
Yeah. I love it. That was my favourite story so far this year on Facebook.
So back to CrossFit and back to a wee bit of business. How is things out there, Andy?
Yeah,
how's
we're
business?
Going really well this year so far. January, I guess, in anyone's fitness business is a busy month of the year, but we were quite lucky in that even November and December, our numbers have been decent. Definitely spiked up now a wee bit.
Of course, yeah.
But we've been putting a lot of money back into the gym and
reinvesting, buying
a lot of new toys, and I think the members like that.
I've seen that. You have a lot of new stuff.
We do. We have 5 assault bikes now, 5 rowing machines, 5 ski ergs, and then 5 of these new bike ergs.
I've seen them. They look good.
Fantastic machine.
What is it?
It's kind of like it's the same. It's a concept, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a concept. Yeah. So it's got the same, you know, the damper thing that you get in a concept, the same as the ski erg, and now they've got it on a bike.
Concept.
Rower. Sorry, it's the same consoles and the concept.
Right. And it's slightly different to their assault bike. Their assault bike's very grindy. It's air resisted. So the harder you go, it'll grind harder on the resistance.
First time ever wanting one was the time you sat me on yours out in CrossFit. I went and bought 2 after.
I knew it would mess you up.
They stay at about over 80 RPM for about 60 seconds. I say for about 45 seconds. Yeah. No bother. Yeah. And I'm not joking. Literally 49, 50 seconds, I started to just cave on. Legs burning, chest burning. It's like, what the fuck's going on?
People love those machines.
It was burning for about 5 minutes after.
That's right.
They're savage machines.
You get that like metal taste in your mouth. The lactic.
This is an off topic. This is just my general interest. Has CrossFit now gone to concept to everything? So they must have a contract with Concept 2.
I don't know what the situation is, but
the competitive bikes are now Concept 2.
Yeah. The thing about CrossFit is, like, so if you understand the CrossFit Open, every year all the CrossFit gyms in the world have athletes that take part in 5 weeks of workouts.
Yeah.
And they're all supposed to be measured the same so that everybody's got a fair chance against each other across the world.
Mm-hmm.
But for that to happen, they all need to have the same machinery.
Of course, it makes sense.
It does seem that Concept seems to be well in.
Sponsoring?
It's fine.
I'm not sure.
Well, the Concept, the fucking rulers.
They're a massive brand, you know.
It was a big brand before CrossFit.
Of course connected with CrossFit again.
You want to buy a rower, it was a Concept 2. Yeah. You didn't buy anything else because nothing else was good.
Yeah.
Well, it was robust as what a Concept 2.
In terms of, obviously there's a lot of hit within the fitness industry towards CrossFit. Okay. You always get a lot of guys, you're bad-mouthing it and CrossFit this and this and that and the other. How do you deal with that yourself? Do you just try and ignore it, or do you just try and...
I think that it's definitely on the decrease now.
Yeah.
It was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was a lot of it, and there was like a lot of videos going up on YouTube and CrossFit fails, this and that. And there was a lot of negative feeling towards it. The thing is, a lot of that was coming from people that had never stepped inside a CrossFit gym before, yeah. mm-hmm. which is really unfair to start with. Yeah. But anyway, that's up to them. I've always been of the opinion, like I see a lot of things on Facebook that I don't necessarily agree with, but I'd rather shout about what I'm for than what I'm against.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I always put it down to like if you went into every gym in the country, there's guys who are running the gym in the worst way possible, and there's guys who are running the gym the way it should be run.
Yeah.
There's coaches who are doing the right thing, and there's coaches who aren't doing the right thing.
100%.
And just because there's been one or two, like, or maybe more shitty coaches within a CrossFit box that have got the rest of CrossFit a bad rap, you can take that across the whole industry. You can take that across 100%
across the full fitness industry. Exactly. I've been involved now 12 or 13 years going to gyms and getting coached and getting personal trained and whatnot. And I'm not just saying this, but the best coaching I've ever had has been in a CrossFit box.
Yeah.
And the worst coaching I've been given has been outside CrossFit boxes. That's just my experience.
Yeah.
And you're completely right. There's good coaches in CrossFit.
Yeah.
There's good coaches in weightlifting. There's good football coaches. And there's also bad coaches in all those areas we talked about as well. So there will be bad examples of things, I guess, in CrossFit. It's just the same as there is in any other
sport. I think especially because it's the way CrossFit blew up.
Yeah,
it's because became so big so fast.
Yeah.
And it just like took over.
Nobody likes anything doing well.
Yeah. And it was nearly like a cult kind of thing where people were like kind of hitting on it.
Yeah.
It's like anything, when people are doing well, people like to bring it down.
Yeah. I think that what's helped a lot is the coverage at elite level in the games and stuff. So people can see that at elite level that these are serious athletes.
Yeah.
You know, and they're coming from other sports grounds where they've done well and they've moved into CrossFit. But sometimes as a CrossFit coach, that's the biggest problem for the coaches is that people see it as very elitist.
Yeah.
But CrossFit's really not that. Everything they say is universally scalable. So the essence of what should be happening in a CrossFit box is a 30-year-old Olympic weightlifter who's been to the Olympics should be getting the same workout as a 95-year-old woman who's walked into a gym for the first time. And that's up to the coach to make sure that she's getting the same stimulus.
Mm.
That's the problem that some CrossFit coaches has, is that there's a perception that CrossFit's very elitist.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Mm.
But you need to go there to see that.
Yeah, that's it.
And most of the people that would ever hate on it, they've probably never been inside a CrossFit gym.
Yeah. And I always get asked that, what's your opinion on CrossFit? I have no opinion on CrossFit. I actually went and did my CrossFit cert years ago.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, and I used a lot of it, especially like in conditioning classes and things like that. And I actually train in CrossFit boxes as well too. And at the end of the day, it's another form of exercise, and it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And as you say, like, there's going to be good coaches, there's going to be bad coaches, there's going to be good boxes, there's going to be bad boxes.
Yeah.
And you can't tar one, everybody else be.
Yeah.
Like the one brush, basically. So see, like, even for yourself, Andy, obviously we know each other even from working together. You worked with FF as well too for a few years, and then taking that jump to move and open up your own business. Did it meet all your expectations? What was your initial fears or opening up that jump to open up your own business and your first business? Yeah. It's a scary jump.
100%. So whenever I went to open up, I was lucky in that I had a business partner, and the stress is halved. There's a lot of other things that are halved, but the stress is definitely halved.
Yeah.
And what I did was I had a full-time job. I was working public relations with Causeway Coast and Glens Borough Council at the time. So I kept that job and ran the two of them for the first few months. So there was a bit of a safety net. It would have been harder to just jump from nothing or just leave a job straight away. You'd probably be a wee bit more stressed that way. But and then I was lucky that I had Mickey as well, that we could bounce ideas off, and we always had a second opinion on anything. And then because Mickey's from a competitive CrossFit side, he's really good when it comes to stuff like programming and stuff like that. And his programming works because we can see like real good measurable progression in our own athletes. And that's, we say athletes, but that could be competitors or normal gym goers. Mm. So it was a wee bit, it was a scary time, but
it's been worth it.
100%. Yeah. I don't work anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And then even within, it's good because you have a friend, but sometimes that relationship can go sour. You know, there has to be a good working relationship. Sometimes 100%. You become friends and then all of a sudden you're your business partners.
Well, our
relationship changes completely.
Our relationship has changed.
Yeah.
We were best mates, so we were good buddies and we were doing everything together.
Yeah.
And now we're still good friends, but
you're your business partner.
Aye, and we're putting food on the tables of our families, and that's the most important thing. And then obviously we've got a massive responsibility to our members. Yeah. Our members pay a lot of money every month and they deserve good service. They deserve the gym to grow. They deserve reinvestment to go into the gym. So like our priorities towards ourselves have changed a lot.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's given us both a great life and our families as well.
I think a lot of people might get, especially for personal trainers, you know, and we've said it before, like just because you've been a successful personal trainer doesn't mean you're going to be a successful business owner or gym owner. And it's a completely different ballgame. Mm-hmm. Like,
isn't it?
And what was, did you anticipate maybe a lot of the things that, or was there anything that you didn't anticipate when you actually opened up your gym then?
There is a lot of things that you don't think about before you do it. But what we've found as well is that, so if all that thing, if all those things were just put on us in the first week, we probably would have ran a mile from it.
Yeah.
But as long as you're just prepared to evolve as the gym's growing, and you need to take care of the most important things first. So you need to make sure that your classes are safe.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that the gym space is safe. You need to make sure that it's clean. And then from all these things that start coming in after, you'll look after them. You need to make sure you've got your insurance and stuff like that covered.
Yeah.
But that's all stuff that you'd have been doing before you were running a business as well, I guess. There definitely is different aspects that throw spanners in the works, and you think that you're maybe having a good month. With a bank account.
And you kind of get a wee bit, sometimes you get a wee bit comfortable because you see members and then all of a sudden, geez, members have dropped. What's happened?
Yeah.
You definitely scratch your head a wee bit more than if you're just working and paying somebody else a rent.
Retention's a big thing, and it's something that we didn't focus on at the start so much. We were just trying to get members in, but retention's huge, and it sort of took us until maybe we were the second year in business that we started thinking, right, if there's people leaving, why are they leaving? We need to hold on to people here. That's the most important thing. If somebody comes in the door, we need to make sure that they're happy with the service they're getting. We need to make sure that whenever they're coming to our CrossFit box, they're coming to have the best hour of their day. They're working, they're busy with their families, and they're coming here for their escape. They need to have the best hour of the day in our CrossFit box.
Yeah.
So There would have been a time maybe a year and a half, 2 years in, where I needed a good kick up my arse as well. I got very comfortable with things.
Yeah.
Mickey and I probably had some honest words but I think that's the good thing about a partnership. You can keep the other person straight, and he does that. So, Mickey's very black and white.
Tell
me this, Andy, why would your typical person come to you for CrossFit? Like, what is their reason? Like, your typical client, your typical member, why did they first sign up?
So, whenever people look at CrossFit and they look online and stuff and they see the CrossFit games and they think the people in the CrossFit gyms are going to be athletes looking to compete in CrossFit. But I would say that 90% of our members, I would say about 90% are there just to get fitter, stronger, healthier.
Yeah.
And to get out, you know, just it's a hobby, something to get out of the house.
It's on social as well.
Yeah, exactly that. No. Just the same, I would imagine that the reasons that people come to the CrossFit gym would be just the same as the reasons that people would go to a normal gym or a normal group class. It's just the same.
Same.
Generally.
Yeah.
There's a small percentage of people that want to compete, and that's okay as well.
And how would you do the progress thing for a normal person that's looking to just kind of...
Well, the programming's the same in our normal CrossFit class. So... For like, say, 70 people come in their CrossFit box on any given day, they're doing the same strength programming on that day, and they're doing the same workout.
Right.
But everything's measurable. Obviously, there's people that might have to do different stuff if they're maybe carrying it, if they have a shoulder injury, they can't strict press today, they'll do something else.
So you just have like alternatives for...
That would be a very specific thing. Mm. But our class numbers are low enough that we cap our classes with low numbers.
Yeah, so you're able to give them the service that they need. They're not being left in the back of the room.
That's the thing that I've seen you talk about in recent times on Facebook too, the importance of having... smaller groups to make sure that the people are getting the best out of their training, and also to make sure that you're able to give your best as a coach.
Yeah. That's something that basically I've learned going along as well too. Like, you know, yourself, you worked with us and the numbers that we used to have in our classes and boot camps and
do
stuff.
You remember?
It was just mental.
I remember coming to help take a class at your place, and it was just it was January, a new year. Mm. I think we were still in your old gym.
Right.
And I think there was between 60 and 70 people, maybe it was easy, packed.
Probably more. It was just madness.
But there was three or four coaches, so that worked okay. Yeah.
But again, it was people knew what they were getting into. It was a boot camp. We weren't doing anything technical. Yeah. There was nobody trying to do a snatch or clean or anything else. It was a lot of bodyweight stuff. And we had some barbell stuff as well, too, to be fair.
Listen, I think we all grew and we all have grown. We're not the same place. I pity my clients that I have fucking 5 years
I'm
ago.
I'm exactly the same. I look back and I think, holy shit.
And to be fair, you know, CrossFit did get a lot of hate. Some of it was... Not right, because it's not right. They always talk negative shit. But CrossFit's developed their techniques over the past few years, and they've brought in the best coaches, Olympic-style lifting, because some of the technique, I think, maybe was going out there was maybe not the greatest at the start. And as I said, by the way, my clients, I have fucking dread they see the programs that I put them through 5 years ago. Yeah. So everything evolved, and it has become a fucking, I would say, I've been in Graham's place. I think it's a great place. I think it's a great, for me, it was a great training style. It would have pushed me if I had stayed at it. And I think it's a good community as well. The community aspect of it was great. Everyone wanted to see one. And powerlifting, I was down at the meet down in your place, actually, recently, the charity lift. And I've never seen anything where everyone wants you to fucking lift that. Even the people that you're up against, because they're not really competing against the other people in their field.
Yeah.
They're just competing about what they lifted in the last competition. Yeah. I want to fucking beat that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was amazing. The vibe in there was great. Mm. And like, I really fucking, not that I'll probably do it.
Powerlifting's a good example of that, because so like if I was going against you in a powerlifting competition and we were going in the same weight class, but your back squat was 60 kgs heavier than mine, I'm not going to beat you that day. But if I beat my PB by 1 kg, then that's a massive success. Exactly.
You've come out one.
That's the thing I liked about powerlifting. You could only really focus on yourself, because if somebody had a total that was 200 kgs heavier than you in the same weight class, then you're not going to beat them that day. As simple as that. As long as they don't bomb out. And you're right, everybody. And powerlifting was a great sport for that.
Do you ever see yourself going back there?
No way.
No.
Nah.
No.
I'm never.
BJJ's took over.
You know the way I was, we had to change things every year. I'm telling you now that I'm going to take BJJ to the grave. It's the best sport I've ever done. I promise.
I'm back at it next week. Boom.
I went back. I went actually down to Marty's as well, too, Torres, a couple months ago. I did one session. I was right. Definitely going to get back. Going to get back. And I'm not dedicating no time to it. I'm dedicating my time to other things. And again, my nephew goes to it, and he's the same as you, absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
And the big thing that a lot of people get, Gary McQuaid.
Oh, yes, finally.
The big thing that everybody gets from BJJ is not only obviously the physical thing, but it's the whole mental aspect as well, too, from it. What do you feel is a massive benefit that you've got from it?
The thing I loved about BJJ when I started was, whenever you're coaching for so long, it's not to say that you're good at the things that people are talking to you about, but you're supposed to have an understanding so that you can coach them. People are like coming to you for information all the time. It's great to just go somewhere where you're a complete beginner.
You're being coached.
Aye, and you're being coached, and you don't have a clue what's going on, and you're right back at the bottom of the totem pole trying to learn. And also, like, anyone will tell you, but it's a really humbling sport.
Yeah.
I remember maybe about 2 months after I'd started going to a no-gi class in Derry, and 2 months in, I was at the stage where I was like starting to protect myself a wee bit more, and I wasn't really, I still didn't have a clue what I was doing. But we remember we were doing rounds at the end of the class, and after about two or three rounds, I was absolutely beasted. And there was a wee tiny boy in the corner, a wee 15, 16 year old called Dylan Doherty, who I didn't know at the time. He's a complete savage. And I thought, I'm going to go.
I'll
over
try
to,
him.
I'm going to go over to
smash his face.
I'm going to go over to this young fella for a wee easy round to see if I can get a bit of sweat wiped off and get the heart rate back down again. Oh my God, he completely brutalized me. Head and arm choked me about 5 times in a row. I remember the coach looking over. He was going to come over and like ask if I was okay and stop it. It was that bad. So it's really humbling.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt about it. If you're a 100 kg man and you're coming in and you're taking on a 16-year-old 60 kg guy that's been doing it for 2 or 3 years, he's going to...
Wipe you out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
And you're competing again soon?
You won, Andy? You were down in a competition recently, weren't you?
Aye, Dublin International. Was it in December?
Aye, that's right.
I had a lucky one in the final.
Fuck up, man. You didn't have a lucky one. Stop that shit,
I was
man.
Getting like...
You won the thing. Did you win or did you not?
Aye, but I got...
It doesn't matter. Aye. You won.
Aye, but that's all right. I only had 2 fights as well.
Aye. Doesn't matter. There's
that
boys that put themselves up as a competition winners and bodybuilder and they only won the fucking category.
Well, do you know what? The argument there is too... Why did you do that, though?
Don't know what you're grimacing at.
No. It was you. No.
How dare you? How dare you?
Next that, sorry, Nick, a clap wasn't I, actually a clap, I, Justin. But
next you'll be saying I was taking steroids or something.
Cheating. You look good, hey, for a natural athlete.
That's an insult. That's like saying, I was going to bring up the transgender thing of fucking on that bar.
We'll not do transgender and bodybuilding
anymore.
In the same,
the service.
So next month I'm over in London for the London Open at the end of February. But
fantastic.
My family in London as well, so it'll double it up and go and spend some time with family. It'll be pretty cool.
Brilliant.
You really are an accomplished fucking athlete. Like, he doesn't make me feel good. He doesn't make me feel good as a PT.
Kind of all over.
What an asshole. Hey? When can we start talking about him? When can we start talking about him? So when he goes.
What's the other thing that you set up as well now, Andy? You still have the men's health group?
That's brilliant, man.
Isn't it brilliant that it's been started? You can see it being talked about so much more now on social media. Social media is half the problem in the first place as well.
For sure.
People think that everybody else has got a perfect life and and that's what makes them think that there's something maybe wrong with them. But you're recently on social media been seeing a lot of things, and especially men have been coming out and talking about their mental health issues. There's actually a thing that was on Facebook last night, a footballer from Novari, or former footballer, Desmond Loughery.
Right.
He's done a two-day piece. It might be the Irish News or it might be the Derry Journal. I'll check what it is and maybe tag it on to whatever we post up about this podcast after. But it was a really successful local footballer, played for Ballymena United, played for Corrine, high-level guy, happy-go-lucky, talking about his problems. He was talking, really good interview. I'm not sure who the reporter was, but talking about him standing up the top of the Foyle Bridge, ready to take his life. He was on the brink. So stuff like that has really pushed the issue to the fore. So
what have you set up, Andy?
Well, there's a guy. It wasn't me that set it up. There was a guy, Hugh Higgerty, Derry.
Works with Hugh today.
Works with my mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who'd been running a simple coffee night.
Yeah.
During the dark evenings.
Yeah.
He got I think he was maybe going between two different places, the sandwich company and somewhere else in Derry. And like maybe one or two nights a week, he was having like a coffee, and where guys just went in, and all he did was have a coffee. And if they wanted to talk about something, they would talk about something, or not. Just spend some time, meet new people. So we thought, we'll try this in Limavady. Got in touch with Margaret Ann from the Yellow Bird, lovely wee cafe in town. And she arranged to have like a wee night out, a coffee night for men. And it was packed. There was like 60 men in there. It was really busy. So we said that we would do it again. We thought that in Limavady, you couldn't do it every week or every fortnight, or it would peter out quite fast. Mm. So I actually contacted her this week. I'm yet to hear from her. We'll maybe get something else up and running now in February. But the big thing is trying to get something to bring people, we're talking about men, but anyone into the present. There's so much going on in the world now that people are either worried about maybe something last week or something in the past.
Yeah.
Or they're anxious about something in the future. And you usually find that the happiest people are people that maybe don't have the most money or anything like that, but the people who are involved in something that brings them into the present moment.
Yeah, that's more meaningful.
It could be your fitness classes or it could be yoga
or
something that brings them. That's why I think BJJ is great, because whenever you're bumping fists with somebody to roll, if somebody's trying to choke you out or take your arm home, you don't really have time to think about anything else. Electricity bill.
So, and again, I suppose for men especially, it's a thing, it's the whole cliche where men just suppress everything.
They do.
They don't actually talk to anybody. Like, so even being in a group like that where everybody's coming together and you're actually connecting with somebody, and just like BJJ or any other sport, you become friends and you become like a shoulder to cry on for somebody else, and they can actually maybe tell you something that they wouldn't tell a relative, they 100%. Wouldn't tell anybody else.
And not even necessarily sport, but like fly tying or something. Like, everybody needs something outside their normal mundane working lives.
For sure.
That they can just go, if you can have an hour a day, 5 or 6 days a week, where you're just not thinking about anything else except what you're doing. Everybody should have that. It doesn't matter what it is. It's something that they're passionate about outside their normal life.
Yeah, especially as you say, like, especially with the whole social media thing and people looking on their phones and looking at other people's lives and thinking that, fuck me,
look at their lives. Perfect. If they see this photograph that puts in a bad form, they don't know that maybe 5 minutes before that photograph was taken, if that person took a photograph then and captioned how they were feeling, it might be completely different.
Did you see the one that was on Facebook where the guy took a selfie and it showed you the sand and all behind him, the sunglasses, and then it showed you the full picture. He was a fucking on a Bolton site on a sand mound. was a cracker. That's but again, it's just perception. Right. It's people's perception. You can stick up anything and all of a sudden don't you're see it. You're probably, crying.
You probably put up a nice picture of McGabbery. You know what I mean?
Joe, I'm probably
you might struggle.
I'm probably the worst at it. Like, people probably think that my life's okay. Everybody's got fucking bad times. I mean,
and that's the thing with social media. Nobody shows you the bad things. No, everything has to be perfect. You only see the good side.
Yesterday morning, my wife left for work at 8 o'clock in the morning. And for some reason, my two kids were like just devils for an hour and a half before I took them to childminder. And I was ready for Grantia. And I wasn't for sticking up a photograph on Instagram then of me smiling.
Exactly, like, yeah.
After my training session or something. So people do get a really warped opinion on or view on people's lives. Social media is...
Yeah. To be fair, like, I think everybody should have some sort of break from it. And I spend far too much time
I try to do it every year. Try to take a week off Facebook. And then I just spend double the time on Instagram.
That's tough, man.
Well, at least you're getting your Instagram profile up. You're putting a lot of work on that.
And then the other thing is Mikey has to take care of all the business stuff. You sort of, if you're running a business,
we actually chatted about it. You thought you said you were going off Facebook. Was it this year, last year? And I says, how are you running
the business?
Is there private pages?
The business is tough to run. You can't do it.
Well, that again, that's one of the, that's a situation where I guess it's good to be in partnership.
Aye.
But he does enough. He doesn't need to be doing all that.
Yeah.
On top.
So what's the plans for the rest of the year?
Hopefully, well, compete in BJJ for sure. My young boy's nearly of the age now where I can start armbarring him.
What is he one?
Two. He's armbarring you.
He's two.
He's one of, no, he's not. He's maybe four this year. So
very good.
I don't know, man. I don't really think too far. Like, I have my own goals, my own sporting goals privately, but...
just go with the flow.
Go with the flow outside that. Yeah. Every day as it comes. And... just hope that the business keeps on ticking over and growing.
See, to be honest, man, by the sounds of things, I think the business is going to be fine, man. If it has you fucking passionate about what you do, and you clearly are, man, it'll be good. It'll be a good business. Everything will work for you, and should be a good year for you, man.
100%. Mickey is over now 2 weeks' time at the European Championships. A really good chance of doing well at that.
So
as
this
well.
Is a CrossFit European Championships. Aye. He's over at that, is he?
He's at that level. Brilliant, like, man. He went last year in the open class and qualified in and around... 70th-ish and ended up making the top 15 cuts. So I mean,
I remember the days we used to go out
there. That's amazing.
He'll tell you himself. He'll tell you himself. He was wee wary. There was nothing to him.
I used to come out and train me, him and Mickey, and evolve them about it. It was CrossFit, CrossFit workouts, and going, what the fuck is that boy? Like,
he's just a savage, animal, was he? I don't know, Mickey.
He always had,
He was a footballer too. He was a good footballer.
A very good footballer. I played for Mayola, Tobermore, Limavady United. He played a decent level of football.
Was that his background? Was it was football,
And could run for days.
Is he slight?
He does a lot of resistance training now as part of his program, and he's with a group from England called JST. So does a lot of barbell work, and has put on he's a very athletic man now.
Yeah.
I'm standing beside him for photographs.
Happy day. So, anybody that's looking for you on Instagram or Facebook, just Andy Chapman or CrossFit Limavady.
You'll probably be blocking me after about 3 days.
Brilliant. Hey, Andy, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
That was thank you.
Good to meet up again.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Excellent.
Brilliant,
Paul. And who have we got on next?
We don't know.
I know that I want to get Kyle Wallace on soon, and then we have Owen Lacey.
We've Owen at the end of the month, and we were speaking to Ben Marty as well too.
Torres,
he's going to come on. Yeah,
cool, brilliant.
Yep.
Great guys, thanks for tuning in. And as I say, we'll be back very soon with Owen. Andy, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
cool. Elevate. Jump.